Afternoon. It's good to be with you this afternoon. We're going to continue our study in 1 Corinthians. Those of you that are visiting for the past few weeks, we've been going through the book of 1 Corinthians. Tonight, we're starting in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. I did just want to say a word of appreciation to allowing Kyle to come and speak to us this morning. It was encouragement to me to have him here. I think it was encouragement to him also to be here with us as he starts his work at Mount Olive. It's not often that you hear the perspective that he had, the background that he had, and certainly there was a lot more that he could have told us if time had allowed. But the decisions that he has made to be gospel preacher have caused a rift in his family and caused some difficulties for him. So I appreciate the stand that he's making for the truth. We need to pray for him and his efforts, and pray for his personal situation with his family as well, because I do appreciate what he is doing. Tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, as we've been studying, the Apostle Paul is laying a foundation with the Corinthians that they can have unity. And what they have right now is not unity. There's a lot of disunity within that church. The first four chapters, in fact, in 1 Corinthians deal with divisions, because it has been reported to Paul that there is fighting and divisions among the church there. And what we see is that Paul is showing them that God is pleased to confound their earthly wisdom through the message of the cross. Preaching Christ crucified, as we studied last week, was something that was a stumbling block, both to the Gentiles and to the Jews. It was a stumbling block to the Jews, and the Gentiles just thought it was foolishness. But Christ is on display as the power of God and the wisdom of God. So when you have the common foundation of Christ and believe in what He did and who He is, then you can have a foundation that can put away disunity. So what is it that we need to know that we can keep from fighting and keep from having divisions? Well, that's what Paul continues to teach these Corinthians as he lays out these foundational truths. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 26, as Noah read for us this evening, we are to glory only in the Lord. He says in verse 26, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things that are mighty." So today, being wise, or being influential, or being somebody that is well-born, somebody that has they're born with the silver spoon in their mouth, is the way that we put it today. They are people that sometimes are respected. They may be respected because of how much they know, or how well they do in school, or how much influence they may have on others. Sometimes people in the business world, they want to show how much influence they have by name dropping, or by how many different people they copy on their email, so you can see who it is that they know and how important that they are. And, so there's a lot of different kind of criteria that people have, whether or not people know your name. That's not the criteria for being a Christian. And Paul proves this point to them by asking them to consider themselves when they were called. Who are the ones that received the message of the cross? Look at what he says. Not many are mighty, not many are noble, are called. So there may be some there that are holding themselves higher than others because they feel like they are mighty. Are you mighty? Are you noble? Well, you may be. But you are wise according to worldly standards, but God's not impressed with who we are or our achievements. I think I may have told you before about a person that we interviewed at EBSCO Media many years ago, that when he came in for the interview, one of the questions that he asked is what his title would be on his business card. And he also asked whether or not he would have a cubicle or an office. because that was important to him, that he would have his own office. And so he was not hired because all the things that he was asking seemed to be things that, in his opinion, held a high stature. We make a joke about how many different acronyms Konica Minolta has and how many times they change and how really unimportant they are, what our titles are. Sometimes we have to tell people what we do. We have to have some kind of title so we can tell people what it is or have something to put at the bottom of our email. But it doesn't really matter that much what the title is when it comes to the amount that you see after the dollar sign on your paycheck. And so God is not impressed with my business card. He's not impressed with how many colors it's printed with. He's not impressed with what kind of paper it's on. He's not impressed with you on what your job is or how many achievements you may have or how many letters you have after your name or whether or not you want to be called doctor or mister or whatever. These are the things that people think are important, but they're written off by God when it comes to things of eternal importance. I know that's difficult for us sometimes to grasp because we put so much importance on those things. I'm not saying that those things are not important in the world, because they are. And sometimes they represent whether or not somebody has knowledge in a particular area. I would not want somebody to be doctoring me if they did not have a doctor, before their name. And so it's important to me that, yes, they can have those credentials. But what I'm saying, when it comes to the life of a Christian, God doesn't treat the doctor any differently than He treats anybody else. He doesn't treat the person that has money any differently. And so sometimes people have a feeling of inadequacy, that they are aware that they have need. And sometimes there are those that feel totally adequate and don't feel like they have a need or a care in the world. What Paul is saying, that all of you have a need. And when you know that you have a need, then you need to do something to fill that need. Being wise by the world's standards causes many people to not look to God. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25, Jesus declared, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." Little children sometimes are very accepting of what it is that they're taught. And those that are wise and think that they know everything are very resistant to change. In fact, we were just this last week, me and a salesperson were discussing this point with someone who was describing the challenges that they had in their business, and how that they had tried to do certain things and those things were not embraced by the people in their organization. And I said, "You mean people are resistant to change?" And they laughed and they said, "Well, that's exactly the problem that they have." Because people are resistant to change. People are resistant. And God is very aware of that. And so when we are told that we need to be like little children are innocent, they will believe and they will accept. And those who think that they're wise and understanding, they're not open to God. God is always willing to tell us who we are if we will listen. And we have to remember who that is. Paul's telling these people that think they're something that they're nothing. That's not something that's easy to swallow at times. He says it's only by God's love and grace and power that we are made to be something wonderful in the kingdom of God. Verse 27 says, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and has chosen the weak things of the world to put shame the things that are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that it is that as it is written, He who glories, let him glory from the Lord. So rather than thinking in terms of what makes you valuable in a worldly way, you have to consider what God has done. Yes, I understand that there are times in our life when we've got kids in here that are on their break from school. And they've been studying. They're concerned about their GPA. They're concerned about doing well because those things are going to matter to those who are looking at those things when they're looking for an internship or a job and making decisions about scholarships and those kind of things. So in those terms, it's very important. But you shouldn't confuse that with what Paul is saying here, that those things are not important in a spiritual way. Because when people start to think that they are higher or lower than somebody else, then it becomes a problem in spiritual terms. God did not choose the kinds of people that the world would praise. You can see that in His choice, in Jesus' choice of His disciples. The disciples were not ones that were impressive to the world. You know, it's kind of the hodgepodge of a group. They came from different types of backgrounds that didn't have worldly wisdom. And that made it all the much clearer that God was behind what happened on the day of Pentecost, because these men did not have that kind of education. But God chose to light the nations using the glory of God. God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame those who think that they're strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world to bring things up to another level. One commentary puts it this way: God's wisdom is a kind of paradox. In human thinking, strength is strength, weakness is weakness, intelligence is intelligence. But in God's economy, some of the seemingly strongest things are the weakest. Some of the seemingly weakest things are the strongest. And some of the seemingly wisest things are the most foolish. This paradox is not by accident, but is by God's design. And so the Corinthians, as long as they see things in worldly ways, they're going to keep having problems. They will keep having divisions. When people are rebellious, they are going to have problems. When people are proud of themselves, when they're parading their accomplishments or parading their intellect, God says, "I don't choose you, I choose the simple." And those that are strong, they display their might, says that God chooses the weak. And those that think that they're something and have to proclaim to others that, they are going to be brought to nothing by God. And so you might ask, well, why? Why did God do this? Does God just want to bring everybody down? Does He just want to insult everybody? Certainly, that's not the case. But God does need to shatter human boasting. And sometimes people can do that to us when we boast. They may bring us back down to earth. You know, just the other day, I was spending a day in Atlanta with a salesperson that I don't usually have any kind of interaction with, but they paired us together for that day to do some work, and he was asking me how things were going in Birmingham. And so, all of a sudden, I told him how well things were going, and of course, things aren't going so hot in Atlanta. So, when he asked me that, I was so happy to talk about it. And my boss the other day asked me what my numbers were, you know, year to date. And I hadn't really looked at them recently, but when I looked at it and saw that I was at 98% of where I was supposed to be in one area and 102% in another area, it got me really excited and things started to pat myself on the back. And then I thought, well, you know, if I was at 40%, I would have been blaming it on things that are out of my control. Like the salespeople, you know. But when I'm up at these numbers, it's all within my control. You know, it's all about where I am as to how I talk about it. And so, when he asked me how things are going, well, I'm at 98%. You know, I'm patting myself on the back, and I'm at 100%. over 100% in these other areas, and we're going to have a great December. And so it's going to, you know, maybe at the end of the fiscal year, which ends in March, maybe I'll be at 110, 120, who knows? Maybe I'll go to President's Club this year, all because of me. But if I was having to be in Atlanta, y'all would drag me down. So you see how people sometimes look at their own wisdom, they look at their own achievements, and sometimes those achievements may be valid, sometimes they're not. But what God is doing is He is destroying those that spiritually think that they're something. Paul's saying they're not. They're not all that. Fighting and divisions come about, and you can see that in the life of the Corinthians as we go through this study, that many of the problems they have are self-centeredness, problems that they have because they don't treat each other the way they ought to, that they don't have any respect for each other, or that they respect some people more than others. It's about them having their way. It's about them having their say. It's about forcing our way on others. I know many times we do that. We want to force our way on others. We give ourselves too much credit and hold ourselves in high esteem. And fighting and divisions come about often because it's all about us. And that appears to be what Paul's dealing with these Corinthians, because they're boasting in these things. And they boast in the choices that they've made. And what Paul's saying is, it's not about you, it's about Christ. Look at verses 30 and 31 of chapter 1. Verses 30 and 31. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Well, that's an entirely different story, isn't it, than glorying in yourself because of who you are, what you've done, what you have, how much respect you have from others. It is because of Christ that you are here. It is because of Christ that you have what you have. It is because of the wisdom of God and the strength of God and the fact that God gave His Son to die for you that you have wisdom, true wisdom, that you have righteousness, you have sanctification, you have redemption. And Jesus brought these things to us. Jesus is the revelation of God's plan. He brings people into a relationship with Him. That's one of the things that I like about Kyle's lesson this morning. Because he was putting away human wisdom. And there are a lot of people that if he was wanting to focus on human wisdom, or if he wanted to focus on what was best for his career, or which pathway would be the most lucrative for him in the future, what would cause him to have, you know, no risk in his family, it would have been to stay the course of what he had been doing. But it was not about Kyle's wisdom. He was looking at the wisdom that comes from God. He said he tried to refute it, but he couldn't. And so we do not stand on our wisdom, but on the wisdom of God given through Jesus Christ. And we are made right with God through Jesus. And that's what Paul is saying here. We are made holy. We are made set apart for service in God's kingdom. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law and from our sins through Christ. So, with that in mind, how is it that you can boast in yourself? Were you able to do any of that, any of those things that are truly important? Were you able to save yourself? No, our wisdom and our strength can't produce any of those things. Any of those things that Paul is saying are foundational, important, you can't do any of it. And if we boast in the things that the world boasts about, you know, we're boasting in the wrong things. There are so many things that determine status today. And we may value those things, but they don't matter before God. Jesus is wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Those are the things that He gives us. And Paul validates this point by quoting from Jeremiah chapter 9. In Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, the prophet says, "Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord." You know, if I put every verse that I thought belongs on the mirror or on the refrigerator, I wouldn't be able to see the mirror. But this is another one of those that deserves to be pinned in your cubicle or in your car or somewhere where you can see it. Let not man boast in his own wisdom, or the mighty man boast in his might, or the rich man boast in his riches. Because those are things that people boast about all the time. And notice that joy and hope and rejoicing, those are things that exist only in the fact that we know who is the Lord. It's not about us. We don't need to glory in our own wisdom, might, or wealth. And these are all things that have to do with status on the earth. Paul's saying all those things have been torn down with the cross. And it really puts us in a bad position when our eyes are taken away from the cross. And Paul says that's what he is here to do. He is here to provide a personal example. And as we've already alluded to some of those things in previous lessons, but again, look at what he says in the beginning of chapter 2, where he starts talking about himself. And when Paul talks about himself, it's not to boast. But he says, "I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Sometimes I read this and I wonder, is Paul really, is this just coach speak, where he was really, really a good speaker and he's kind of just downplaying the way he was? I don't really think so. But whatever the case is, you can tell that Paul's not trying to hold himself in high esteem. And he's also trying to get the point across to others that you don't need to hold me in high esteem either. And he dealt with that previously when he talked about people that were calling themselves, "Well, I'm glad that I was baptized by Apollos," or, "I want Paul to baptize me." He said that that doesn't matter. This is not about me. It's not about Apollos. It's not about any other person that may be preaching the gospel of Christ. He wants to deflect that type of praise. He wants all that to go to Jesus Christ. He says, "That's what I'm here to do. I am here to teach Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And so that is his personal example. He shows these Corinthians that he is practicing what he preaches. He didn't come with excellence of speech. He did not come to teach them the things that the world values. He's not engaging in self-promotion. So, "Here I am, and here's all the places I've been, and I'm coming to talk to you now. And so you need to listen to me because I've been very successful in helping churches in every place that I've been. And I'm a consultant here to help you get on the right track." That's not what Paul is doing. Paul brought one message. People that bring messages today in the business world, they want to establish their credentials, don't they? And that's usually, a lot of times that's what the warm-up person is going to do. They're going to introduce you and hopefully do that for you so you don't have to say all those nice things about yourself. But they give all these credentials about what you've done and how many letters are after your name or before your name. And here's why. Here's why the speaker is important, and you should listen to him. Paul's not doing that. He is saying that you don't need to listen to me because of me. In fact, I may be really hard to listen to because I am not a good speaker. I am proclaiming one message. His message was, what a wonderful Savior. Not, you know, what a wonderful speaker. Not, what a wonderful preacher. And we've talked about that in previous lessons. I think sometimes we get carried away with those who are good speakers. And when we travel around, we hear other people. We talk about what a great speaker, what a great person, and what a great work that they're doing. Instead of what a wonderful Savior. Paul is not trying to impress. He's bringing the message. And we're not coming together so that you can hear the preacher's opinion on politics or psychology or economics or finances or, you know, even religion. We come to hear the Word of God. And if the teacher is teaching politics and finances and other things, and throwing in a little verse here and there, then it's time to find another teacher or get that teacher on the right track. Paul's saying, I'm not on the wrong track. And if you're looking for somebody that can talk good, then I'm not your guy, but you shouldn't be looking for that. I'm here for a reason. It is to teach Christ and Him crucified. People need to hear the Word of God. And too many religious groups today, you know, they're doing a lot of teaching, but it's not about the Bible. It's not about the Word of God. They may be teaching things about societal issues. And they may be teaching a lot of things that the world's very interested in hearing. You know, a lot of you are familiar with Dave Ramsey, and Dave Ramsey does a lot of good work on teaching on finances. And there's church after church after church that has Dave Ramsey workshops. And you know what? I think some of the things that Dave Ramsey teaches are based on biblical principles about how money should be handled. But the church is not in the business of being a financial counseling agency. They don't need to be having Dave Ramsey seminars at churches, because that's not what needs to be taught. Christ and Him crucified is what Paul said needed to be focused on. And you know, there are so many different tangents that people will travel instead of teaching what it is that the Bible teaches. We want to see Jesus and not ourselves. Paul admonished Timothy to give attention to the public reading of Scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. He wanted him to proclaim that. And he had an expectation that Timothy was going to preach the Word. And he was going to do it when it was popular, when it was unpopular. He's going to do it in season and out of season. So Paul, rather than trying to make some external impression, he came to them in weakness. And he said, I came to you in fear. I came to you in trembling. God is glorified through weakness, not self-sufficiency. We can show weakness, emotion, and failures. Paul's talking that way. But when those who are trying to promote themselves or stand up in front of others and they put on this facade of success and power and wealth and being eloquent and being talented and having so many abilities, being on the forefront, what are we doing? Who are we hiding? We're not letting people see Jesus anymore because we're promoting ourselves in those instances. Paul said, I'm weak. I'm not a great speaker. I'm trembling. But he says, the message is not about me. It's not about me being weak, because I'm not the one that has to be strong. That the one that has the strength is Christ. He says, this is a message of the demonstration of the power and the strength of God. And what was strong was his power to talk about the cross. And
not a message of his superiority of speech. Let's turn over for a second to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your conscience. He has a reason for doing what he's doing. And it's because he wants people to not have to face the terror of God. We are persuading men. And how are we going to persuade them? Not with the excellence of his speech, and that's so important. The big point made here in verse 5, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Because anything else is really a big waste of time. Human praise is not where they needed to put their attention. They didn't need to put their attention on Apollos or him or anybody else. Faith is supposed to be set on the power of God. And that's seen through the cross of Christ. Paul sees that is the kind of preaching that honors God when it's expressing his wisdom and his power. And it's sad today to see how often people's faith rests in a man. People think they're saved because they follow a particular person or they belong to a particular congregation, rather than connecting their lives to Jesus Christ. And we've dealt with that in other lessons when people say that they're Church of Christ. Or they'll name some other denomination, as Kyle said this morning. No, that's not what it's about. It's about being connected to Christ, being a part of His church, the one that He bled and died for. People will follow preachers. They'll follow teachers. But our identity is not to be that way. Paul said, don't follow me, follow Christ. And when that is done, then you'll be what you ought to be. That's why Paul preached Christ and Him crucified. You know, I know that when we look at the epistles, we have a great deal of respect for Paul, because of where Paul came from and how hard he worked and the messages that he gave that were so hard sometimes probably to write because of the content, because he really tells the Corinthians what it is that they need to hear, and there's going to be repercussions, and the messages weren't always popular. And so there certainly is a lot to like about Paul. But Paul said, it's not about me. It's about who I'm talking about, and that is Jesus Christ. The message of the cross crushes all the idols of self or the human idols that we give credence to in our lives. Let's not do that. Let's strive to have unity as Paul lays it out here in 1 Corinthians. And that unity comes through Christ and Him crucified. If we can help you in any way to be obedient to Christ tonight, we'd invite you to come while we stand and sing the invitation song.
Sing the first two verses and then the chorus and then double it again. To the heart is me.